actually on your gospel lesson for today from Luke 13, verses 22. Jesus went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. Jesus is on the way to the cross. From the very opening words of Luke's gospel, everything has been heading in this direction. Didn't you catch that at Christmas time? The attempt on Jesus' life, his presentation in the temple, where Simeon said, "A sword will pierce your heart, Mary." And then at his baptism, the beloved son whom the father loves, just like Isaac, ready to be slaughtered. Jesus has been heading in one direction his whole life. That is why Satan tried to kill him by directing Herod in his murderous plot. And that is why, when that failed, he tried to seduce Jesus in the wilderness. It is ever by deceit or sword that Satan works. That is his way among us here. And that is his way in East Africa, where we are heading. The terrorists who murder Christians in their villages and burn the churches and the sacred books work as servants of Satan. So do the false teachers who twist the words of Scripture, just like Satan did when he tempted Jesus. You know, missionaries can't do much against physical violence. That's the job of legitimate government. And thank God in Kenya and Tanzania and many of those nations in East Africa, they have stable governments that try to do that as best they can. But our whole purpose as missionaries, and mine as a theological educator, is to fight the devil on this other front by teaching the truth and warning people about error, and helping to teach pastors and deaconesses and form them so that they can be faithful servants of the Lord and of his people and go forth with the gospel throughout their land. Jesus is heading to Jerusalem, and Satan has not been able to stop him. And someone said to him, "Lord, will those who be saved, are they few?" And he said to them, "Strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able." Someone said, "Lord, will there be few that are saved?" And the answer to that question is sadly, yes. Few out of the multitudes that have ever lived on this earth, few will be saved. There's only one way of salvation. There is no other name under heaven given us by which we must be saved other than the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And that is why it is so sad when, well, recently another so-called Lutheran church body voted in convention by over 90% to say that there is more than one way to heaven other than Jesus. They have now, with no longer any room for doubt, ceased to be a fellowship of Christian congregations. They have denied the faith. As Jesus traveled to Jerusalem, he taught. He taught the truth. He warned against error. There's no room for doubt. Few will be saved because most will choose the wide door. The wide door, you see, does not demand absolute allegiance to Christ Jesus as Lord. The wide door tolerates heresy. The narrow door is Christ alone. "I am the door," he said. He and he alone. The humbling fact, though, is this. None of us, not a one of us, would choose the narrow door. Our flesh hates it. Our pride abhors it. Since Jesus alone is the door, we must leave everything outside God's house. There isn't room for Christ in our bag of works. There isn't room for Christ in our pride, as inflated as it is. It's too big. It won't fit through the opening. I would not, and you would not, enter by this door if God's law did not kill our sinful, selfish, proud flesh, and if we were not called by the Holy Spirit through the gospel, enlightened by him and sanctified through him, so that we might believe the truth. You see, salvation is all his doing. That's what it means when we say we're saved by grace. When once the master of the house has risen and shut the door and you begin to stand outside and to knock at the door saying, Lord, open to us, then he will say to you, I do not know where you come from. And then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil. The gospel call goes out to all. The Holy Spirit calls by the means of the spoken gospel word. Today is the day of grace and favor. One day, it will be too late. The door will be shut, never to be opened. The frightening thing, you know, about Jesus' words today are found in these. We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Many people have been lied to by false teachers who try to assure them that, oh, all will be well. God is love, they say. And that is true. God doesn't care what you believe or what you do, so long as you are sincere. That's what they say. This is most certainly false. We ate and drank in your presence and you taught in our streets. Ah, but did you listen to my teaching? Did you learn from me? Or did you just hear what you wanted to hear? You bellied up to communion rail, if your church had one. You drank the wine, you chewed the wafer, but do you truly have faith in these words? This is my body, this is my blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Did you discern my true body and blood? Did you receive them confessing your desperate need for the forgiveness of sins? Or did you just go through the ritual as if it were some play? If you do, you'll be cast out into the utter darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, Jesus says, when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves cast out. And people will come from east and west and north and south and recline at the kingdom. One thing I've learned from Christians in Africa, and I spent some time in Nigeria and now going to Kenya, one thing I've learned is they believe this. They know that what they do on Sunday morning is no mere ritual. They know it's life or death. They aren't playing games. And therefore, their faith is not restricted to Sunday morning. They know the reality of weeping and gnashing teeth. And that is why they know the absolute joy of the gospel. It sets them free from bondage to the devil who by deceit or sword seeks to destroy them. But he has been defeated by the cross and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is on the way to Jerusalem. Jesus is on the way to the cross. Jesus is on the way to the resurrection. Didn't you catch that at Christmas time? You remember the angelic hymn? We just sang it. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. And the people will come from east and west and north and south and recline at the table in the kingdom of God. To the four corners of this earth, the gospel goes forth, and from the four corners of this earth, the church will be gathered. Isaiah proclaimed in today's Old Testament reading, they shall come and see my glory, and I will set a sign among them. From them I will send survivors. Interestingly, the Hebrew word there means saved ones. I will send saved ones to the nations, to Tarshish, Pul and Lud, who draw the bow, to Tubal and Javan, to the coastlands far away. Tarshish is to the west of Jerusalem. Tubal and Javan is to the north. The coastlands far away include Asia, the Americas, and I suppose California. Lud is in North Africa. And Pul, that's where we're going, to East Africa, to bring the pure gospel of Christ, to enable Kenyan, Tanzanian, Sudanese, and Ethiopian pastors and deaconesses to lead people to Christ, the narrow door. I hope you can stay after the service to hear more about it. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please stand. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.